بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على نبيه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا مزيدا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, we were talking yesterday about the importance of dua in Ramadan and how in the middle of the chain of verses talking about Ramadan, Allah consistent chains talking about nothing but Ramadan, there's a verse in the middle, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي, about dua, to draw your attention to the importance of dua in Ramadan. How mighty and beautiful dua is, the truthful dua, the sincere dua. Umar ibn al-Khattab used to say, I don't worry about my dua getting accepted. I worry more about making the dua. One who makes the dua leaves it to Allah and Allah will answer it. Can you believe that the Quran starts in dua and ends in dua? It starts in al-Fatiha. In al-Fatiha is one of the most amazing, most beautiful, most collective dua. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And at the end of the Quran, in Surah An-Nas, مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. So the Quran starts with dua to guide us. You ask Allah to guide us. And it ends in seeking refuge from the bandits and the thugs who get between you and Allah in worship. It starts in dua and ends in dua. And in the middle of the verses in Surah about Ramadan, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. الأوزاعي رحمه الله said, people went to seek rain one time, Salat al-Istisqa. And the man giving the speech was Bilal ibn Sa'd. He got up, praised and glorified Allah. He said, oh, people who gathered here, do you not confess your sins? They all said, yes. They shouted, yes. He said, oh Allah, you heard what they said, مَا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ مِنْ سَبِيلٍ. We admit our faults, oh Allah. Will your forgiveness be for other than us who admit their faults? Forgive us and have mercy on us. Forgive us and have mercy on us. Forgive us and have mercy on us. He raised his hands and kept pleading with Allah, did not put his hands down until the rain began to fall. The one who opened the sky with abundant rain can bring you the husband you wish for. If you make dua, because the verse we're talking about says, إِذَا دَعَانِ. He can bring you the wife you dream about if you make dua. He can bring you the peace missing out of your life if you make dua. The tranquility in your marriage missing. Now turn to Allah. Doesn't Allah control your husband's heart more than he controls it? He controls your wife's heart more than she controls it? وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. The person asking can be anyone. Don't say, I'm got so much sins and I have this. Yes, you need to work on them, but I also ask. Ata' al-Sulam, he said, we were deprived of rain one time. We headed on the order of the leader to make Salat al-Istisqa. We passed by a man standing in the alley. The man said, Ata', he recognized Ata', said, Ata', is this the day of Nushur, the resurrection day? Is this the day Bu'tim Ramah fil Qubur, the contents of the grave have poured forth? He's seen such a massive crowd, he never seen anything like it before, heading to supplicate. Ata said, no, we're just heading out to ask Allah for rain. He said, with earthly hearts or heavenly hearts, the man. Ata said, no, inshallah, with heavenly hearts. The man raised his hands to Allah before anyone got to the masjid. He said, Ilahi Sayyidi wa Mawlai, la tuhlik biladaka bidhunubi ibadik. ولك بالسر المكنون من أسمائك إلا ما سقيتنا ماء غدقا فراتا تحيي العباد وتروي به البلاد يا من هو على كل شيء قدير يا من هو على كل شيء قدير. عطا said, before they reached their destiny it began to thunder and storm and rain. A man who possibly from the question he was asking, عطا, you would say maybe he's a little bit mentally off, but not to Allah. Whatever's in your heart, say it, spill it. In this season, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, a man accused him of embezzling or fraud. And he said he's a coward who doesn't go in the battles. He sends people to the battles and doesn't go. And he said, thirdly, he's an unjust man. Umar ibn al-Khattab, even though Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was a giant sahabi, he takes these accusations seriously, so he investigated it. Sa'd said, Allahumma in kana abduka hadha kadiban, qama riya'an wa sum'a, fa'atil umrah, wa'atil faqrah, wa'arridu bil fitan. He said, oh Allah, Sa'd got up, he said, oh Allah, if this man who accused me is a liar, and he did this to show off, then give him a long life full of poverty and subject him to fitan. A narrator of the chain of the hadith, Abdul Malik ibn Umair, said, When I seen him later on as an old man, I seen him in the alleys luring women, trying to lure women and do haram with them. When I asked him, he said, "Sheikh kabir maftun asabatni da'wah Sa'd." I'm an old sheikh, astray because of a da'wah I've been hit with from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu. The people of Baghdad went to Al-Mu'tasim. He had young Turkish soldiers. He tagged on his army. That they filled Baghdad. He paid them to tag on his army that they filled Baghdad. They were very harsh and oppressive to the locals, the people of Baghdad. So they got fed up one day and they sent a representative to speak to Al-Mu'tasim, a alim, a imam, a sheikh. When he went to Al-Mu'tasim, he said, "Curb your soldiers away from us or we're going to fight you." Mu'tasim possibly laughed. He said, "You want to fight me when I have 80,000 armed men?" The man said, "Yes, we're going to fight you. We're going to fight you with the arrows of the night. Dua to Allah. We don't got no other means. That's all we got. We're going to use those." Al-Mu'tasim said, "I can't face that." And he turned away from Baghdad, even though he was an oppressive tyrant. He went from Baghdad, what today's Samarra. Even though he was one of the people who oppressed Ahmad ibn Hanbal. No matter how strong his technology is, he knew. No matter how big his military is, even though he was an oppressor, he knew that when they threatened him with Allah, he knew there's no missiles that can intercept the arrows of the nighttime. It's a powerful weapon in a sharp sword. It's a powerful weapon and the sharpest sword. How many of those arrows of the nighttime took clouds of oppression away, destroyed tyrants, and fended off oppressors? It's time to sharpen your arrows. It's time to put the arrows in the arrow rest. It's time to pull the cable of Ya Allah, the arrows of nighttime never miss. When Al-Hajjaj killed Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, the word got to Al-Hasan al-Basri, his colleague and friend. Al-Hasan al-Basri raised his hand. He said, "Allahumma ya Qasim al-Jababira, Iqsim al-Hajjaj." He didn't live to see another day. Al-Hajjaj didn't live to see another day. Ittaqu da'wat al-madlumi fa in ittaqu da'wat al-madlumi wa in kana kafiran fa innahu laysa dunaha hijab. The hadith in Sahih al-Jami' on the authority of Anas ibn Malik, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fear the supplication of the oppressed, even if he's a kafir." The hadith says, even if he's a kafir. There's no barrier between it and Allah, between the dua and Allah. That's even if he's a kafir. Imagine if he's a muwahid whose forehead bows to Allah. During the Abbasiyya Khilafah, 196 after the Hijrah, in Africa, there was a leader named Abdullah ibn al-Aghlab. He was an oppressive, tyrant leader, arrogant, bad manners. The big imam sheikh in Africa then back was Hafs ibn Humayn. He went to the leader. He said, "Fear Allah in your youth. Have mercy on your looks and your body so we'll never be touched by hellfire," because he was known to look good and have strength. "Stop these excessive taxes you impose on us and govern by the Quran and the Sunnah." So the leader turned away, more arrogant than before, and in retaliation increased the taxes. Hafs ibn Humayd, the sheikh, returned the people. He said, "I despair from the leader, but I don't despair from Allah. Tonight, from Isha until Fajr, everyone is going to make dua. Release your tongues in dua from Isha until Fajr." People gathered in their masjid and in their house. People were seen making wudu and preparing from Isha until Fajr, saying, "Oh Allah, stop his oppression. Oh Allah, take his days away." Suddenly he gets a tumor or a scratch under his ear that caused him not to survive for another 5 days. During those 5 days, they themselves were a lesson. His color changed. He was black. He was from Africa. He was black. It changed, as was described, to a rotten white. And he was described as very handsome and strong. Allah took that away before he took his soul. When the two armies of Talut and Jalut were about to clash, what did they turn? رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. What's the result? فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Salah al-Din died 589 after the Hijrah. The Muslim world divided after him. His sons took a portion and his brothers took a portion. Everyone wants to be a leader. Everyone wants to be a leader. In Egypt, the portion of Egypt went to his son Al-Aziz ibn Uthman, the son of Salah al-Din. And this man befriended or had friends, or they got close to him, people from the Jahmiyyah. the ones who deny the names and qualities of Allah and have deviance also in the belief in the Qadr. The Jahmiyyah played with this leader's mind to oust a group of righteous ulama from the Hanabila who followed the Sunnah, who were on the right path of the Sunnah. And the masses were turning to them. And they wanted the masses to turn to those Jahmiyyah. So the ulama got word that they are being ousted. They have to vacate. They turned and made dua. They had no other means. This was in the 19th day of Muharram, 595 years after the Hijrah. Salah ad-Din's son went on his way, enjoying his routine, hunting. And the oppressors got happy. That's how they usually are. They sleep in joy, thinking it's all over, while masses or one person make dua because of their sleepless nights. While he was on his horse, hunting and enjoying life, thinking it's over with, a wolf chased his horse, scared his horse, jerked him off of it. He fell off into the mouth of the wolf. The wolf chewed him up. When the word spread of what happened, those Hanabila, the people of Ahl Sunnah, gained respect by the people in all of Sham and Egypt. وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ